Today, I wanted to speak to you about something that I just went through, and that's called panic attack. Ever have one of those? Let me ask you a question. Has anybody been overwhelmed in the past month? Just a show of hands. I mean, overwhelmed. I mean, just overwhelmed, okay? How about in the past 2 months? Okay, a few more hands. Okay. Decades, yes. Praise God. So, I mean, this thing just, you know, a letter came. And, you know, I looked at it in disbelief. Our assessment went up, you know, five times. And it was interesting. In the newspaper, they said the purpose of increasing the assessment is not to increase the taxes. But right on the darn paper, our taxes went up five times the amount. And the school, I mean, the town tax was like off the page. It was like more than I make in a year. And that isn't the school tax, which usually is really out there. Then they're talking about increasing the millage in addition to increasing the assessment. And all this is going around. And that night I had a panic attack. I mean, you know, I hadn't got a hold of anybody, and so it was just me and God. And, you know, it happens at night, doesn't it? You know, it seems like about 3 in the morning, it gets really dark. And something walked into the room and just started wrestling with me. I mean, I could feel it. It just had fangs, and it's sort of, you know, it's just one of these grisly things. And my heart started beating and whatever, and I just began, you know, taking the woes of the world on my shoulders. And fear was all around me. And so I went downstairs after I tried to sleep. Isn't it interesting when these things come, you know, sleep just goes. And, you know, you really need that sleep. It was a particularly difficult day. I was very tired, and I needed that rest. And it was that REM sleep, you know, that real good sleep that you need. And something was stealing that from me, and I was being robbed. And so instead of sleeping, I had a battle. And so I went at it for about 3 hours. It wasn't until about maybe 6 in the morning, well, about 5:30, that, which is when I normally get up, that I felt things begin to break. So it was this kind of a thing like, wow, something's lifted. I have a peace that passes understanding. I think I'm okay. But I decided to call Jeff Poole, who you know works for the assessment office. And he was just, you know, he was afraid to go out because the letters had gone out. And wherever he went, people were accosting him on the streets, you know, asking him questions. I mean, it was just, and he has been hours, you know, talking to him like me. I called up, and that guy plays the devil's advocate. I mean, you know, here I'm wrestling all night, you know, I thought I'd get some words of comfort from my brother in the Lord. And he says, well, you know, why should we give you a break? Why shouldn't it be five times more? Why shouldn't you pay taxes for the rest of your life? You know, I mean, you know, and pay more than you earn. You know, I mean, it's just, why shouldn't you? And I'm going, Jeff, you're not helping things. And he gave me some advice what I should do, and added to my stress because I bet I had to go out and get an assessment, which would cost $300. In addition to paying taxes, it seems like an insult to injury type of thing. So I went out and got a hold of an assessor who came over to the house and said, you know, this seems like a fair assessment. It's like, wait a moment, you're not helping me at all. And she loved the house. She says, can I buy it? And I'm saying, no, you're missing the point. I want somebody to help me here, not, you know, send me to the poorhouse. Well, in the midst of all that, the same day, the irate taxpayers of Wellsboro went down in force, almost stormed the courthouse at a commissioner's meeting and overturned the whole thing. And bless God, the commissioners just threw the whole thing out and were okay for a year until they figure something else out. And so, you know, the whole thing is finished for now. But, you know, I had to deal with that. And it was just one more thing in a whole line of things. And I'm sure you know what it's like. And so it was just, this whole thing about what do you do when you're overwhelmed, when bad news comes and hits you out. Because it's not designed to hurt you, it's designed to kill you. It's designed to take you out. We need to understand this thing's a nasty thing that is not a game. It is real, and it's designed to wear out the saints and bring us down to the point where we lose our inheritance. We lose our desire. You know, just when you keep getting hit back and hit back and hit back and hit back and you pray and nothing seems to happen, something happens within you where you get numb. And something of that expectation and that passion and that desire begins to just leak. And after a while, you just feel like giving up. And that's the whole purpose of what a panic attack is designed for. It's a specific thing sent to destroy you. So I wanted to share with you a couple examples in Scripture and share with you some things that I'm learning about how to deal with this. Because, you know, the last panic attack I had was a month ago. And you know, it didn't last very long. It was just a little thing. This thing hit me with a force that I wasn't expecting. That's another thing about it. It comes with an unexpected aspect to it. So, first of all, I want to take you to Psalm 61. And do we have our projectionist to help me out with those large print edition wall Bibles? I love this guy. Praise God. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. This is David. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Sounds like it'd make a good song, wouldn't it? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And everybody said, amen. There's a powerful cry here. Lord, you lead me to the rock. It's interesting that when that whole attack comes, he seems to be nowhere to be found. Lord, I'm groping for you, but I can't find you. Would you take my hand and lead me? And it says, when my heart is overwhelmed. I've shared with you that, you know, we can doubt the Lord in our head, but never in our heart. Because when you start getting into the realm of the heart, that's the seat of our emotion and our passion and our whole belief system. And it's all centered around our emotions. And when the enemy gets us in the realm of our emotions, in the realm of the soul, we're losing our authority in the spirit. And we end up doing stupid things. So David said, Lord, before I make and, you know, another idiot of myself, lead me to the rock. Take me back that is higher than I. Praise God. That is stronger, that is stable, that will not move even though the circumstance around me are. Now, I want to take you to somebody who didn't process things very well under a panic attack. And it was Elijah. Mighty man of God. I don't want to in any way diminish his anointing and calling. But you know the story, but I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 1. Just look at a couple things. Because there's a spirit behind a panic attack, and there's a specific design that we need to see so that when it comes, we know what to do. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, Jezebel was feeding these prophets at her table and promoting their whole message. And Elijah comes and he just in one swoop brings revival to the land, kills all the prophets, so she's not happy. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, sort of like a letter from the tax assessment office, okay? Yeah, it's quick, bad news. It's called an evil report. This is an evil report. Recognize it when it comes. You know, test the spirits, you know, check the thing out. You know, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. What's that called? That's fear. That's fear. This spirit of fear is a demonic spirit sent through the spirit of witchcraft. And you'll find this a lot of times, that witchcraft is mostly associated with sleeplessness. It's very difficult to sleep at night. When witchcraft comes around you, it consumes your thoughts. You think about it all the time. You can't think about anything else. And it's focusing your thoughts all on the problem. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what happened to this man. I mean, the mighty man of God came under this spirit. And he ran to Beersheba. And the thing... This is where I want to just camp for a moment. And he left his servant there. Bad move. Now, this young man, not the servant, but Elijah, had just slain 450 prophets of Baal and Asherah by himself. He hacked them to pieces, brought down fire from heaven, just contested with the whole demonic powers for a number of hours. He was not emotionally drained. He was physically drained, but emotionally charged. The guy was exhausted. He was vulnerable. He was at a place, he's just about ready to have a breakdown. That's where he was at. The enemy knew that. The enemy always waits for your most vulnerable moment when you're your guard's down, then he strikes. It's not a good time to do it alone. It's not a good time to pull yourself away from the body of Christ and say, I'm going to work this thing out on my own. And when I get the victory, then I'll come back and get some prayer. That's the natural way. But that's not how we should approach this thing. You need to see the magnitude of this thing. The Bible says that we're to carry our own burden when it's our own burden. But there are some things that come that are like a boulder, and you need some help. It's going to roll on top of you and crush you. It's been sent to destroy you and take you out. That's why God has given us the body of Christ. And we got to lay aside our pride and get some prayer. That's what it's all about. He left his servant there. Bad move. He should have brought his servant with him. Even if his servant just prayed for him under his breath, would have been better than to leave him and go out on his own. We need one another. When we come to church, we need to recognize the greatest gift we have to bestow upon one another is to pray for one another and believe for God for one another. And keep doing it until each and every one of us gives a breakthrough. I believe that's why we're here. I believe that that's what it's all about. God is saying, I'm sending this stuff to get you to a place where you're desperate enough to reach out and get some help. If it was something that you could do on your own, you would do it on your own. But you need to recognize there comes a point when you need to surrender to the brothers and sisters around you and get some prayer. Just avail yourself. And I'm to the point where why wait until a calamity hits? Why not get some insurance? Get some prayer, maintenance prayer, something. You know, there's always something that we're believing God for that isn't a crisis yet. How about praying before the crisis comes? Isn't that a novel thought? What about us getting on the offensive and not being on the defensive? Do you think that this guy would have had a breakdown had he had some help up there slaying all those bad guys? See what I'm saying? He's all alone. And so he ran out. Okay. He went a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under a broom tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." I'd say that that's sort of like a discouragement. You know, it's tied in with the spirit. It's an utter wish to not want to live anymore, to not want to go to work anymore, to not want to be a husband or wife anymore. I mean, you just feel like such a failure. And the fact is, he had just been such a victorious... I mean, do you understand the mind games that are going on here? I mean, this is so... unbelievable. I mean, When your emotions get tied up in the spiritual realm, you're no match for this spirit, okay? And you're thinking straight, but you're not. And what's happened is your mind has opened up to, the enemy just seeds the natural thoughts and amplifies them to the point where you start forgetting all the victories, all the successes, and you feel like an utter failure who's never in your life once had one success. It's the wildest thing in the world. Doesn't make any sense. And fortunately, if you have somebody alongside that say, walk into this, you know, it gets you out of it quicker. But if you just sort of stay there in your own, you're going to stay there for a while. And let's go on. God sent an angel. Now, the best thing he did was slept. He slept. And sometimes that's what we need to do is rest. Now, if you can't sleep, know that you're under a spiritual attack. It's probably witchcraft. You need to go after that thing and battle it until it goes, because it's going to be either you or it. It's designed to take you out. It's not going to play games. And I know you're exhausted. I know that you're at the end of yourself, but there is a supernatural strength that will come for the battle, and God is sending it to make you stronger. Now, God sent an angel, and when you pray, angels are released in your behalf, and they begin to do battle. Aren't you glad? How many of you realize that we are not the army of God? It's the heavenly host, the angels that outnumber the bad guys 2-1, plus God. You know what I mean? We're surrounded by a friendly sky that wants to come to our assistance, but they cannot do anything unless we speak out and pray in the midst of these situations. Otherwise, we tie their hands and they go to our destruction. And so the angels come and they sustain him naturally and spiritually, and then they prepare him for a journey. Now, we won't go into the whole aspect of that, but I want to just mention about what you do when you're overwhelmed. And the first thing is you treat it like it's your worst enemy. You don't agree with it. You deal like it's the worst cancer. It's the worst thing. It's the most uninvited guest. You don't play games with it. You go for complete victory. You know, that night when I knew the peace of God had left me, whatever, I knew that I was in for a fight. But it was going to be either me getting the victory or this thing was going to take me out. It's not going to take me out. I just made a decision. I just know that God sent this thing for my growth, for my strengthening, for my preparation for further authority in the Spirit. Did I ever tell you about the time I first encountered the devil? I was a young guy, and I prayed and asked the Lord, I asked him, is the devil real? Would you show me? And a friend of mine later said, it's amazing you're still alive. But I started having a dream at night, and it was this dark, shadowy figure that was chasing me through these rooms of this mansion. Spooky thing, you know, creaky doors and creaky floors and really scary. And I woke up each night in a cold sweat, scared, spitless. And I went to my pastor and I said, what do I do? And he gave me a word of the Lord. He gave me the scripture. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It was like a rhema to me. It was just, I didn't realize at that time I could go and get that myself, but I decided not to leave my servant, as it were, behind. I went to my pastor and I said, help me here. And God graciously gave him the word of the Lord to me. And so I took that home and prayed that through before I went to sleep. And that night, same dream. This had been going on for weeks when I finally went to the pastor. So let's not wait so long. And that night, there I was, running like a scared chicken through that house until I finally came to this room where there were no more doors, and I crouched down in fetal position waiting for the shotgun to go off, because this shadowy figure had a shotgun in his hand. I could hear it. And so I heard him standing over me cocking the gun, and then he pulled the trigger, but nothing happened. And so he cocked it again, pulled the trigger again, nothing happened. And each time that happened, I would open up my hands a little bit, look out, and begin to rise up a little bit, get a little stronger. And about the fifth or sixth time, you know, I began to realize he has a gun, but he doesn't have any ammunition. So I took the gun from him and started banging him on the head and chased him out of my dream and woke up with a hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. And it's just my first encounter in growing in authority and understanding what the Word of God has done for us. You know, we have this authority. And when these things come, they're uninvited guests, and they need, it's like a pig coming into your bedroom. Man, get that thing out of there. I hope nobody has any in their home. Okay. All right, good. I don't want to break any. You might have a pet pig, you know, it'd be a terrible thing, you know. Goodness, like. Anyhow, so, you know, get that thing out of there. I mean, deal with this thing as if it's, because literally this thing took, I believe that Elijah had a breakdown that he never recovered from, and as a result, the mantle had to be taken from him and given to Elisha. I mean, it's a serious thing. He might have lived, but, you know, to have your inheritance removed from you, I believe, before your time. I don't think it's necessary. So it's that type of thing where, you know, when the panic attack comes, fight that thing. I think of Elijah, of Ezekiel. In the opening part of Ezekiel, he sees a storm coming, and everybody runs, and he stands into the wind and faces it, and then he has a heavenly vision. We need to. Do you know the story about lions? How when old lions get old, they lose their teeth, and all they can do is growl. So they get in the high grass and they growl, and what happens is they have the young lions in the other grass waiting for the gazelles to be scared by the roar and run into the tall grass where they can be eaten by the young lions. And so they come along, the old lion roars, and that's all he can do. He's toothless, you know. So he just roars, makes a lot of noise, scares the gazelle, runs into the tall grass, and is eaten up. The moral is, if you run in the direction of the roar, you'll trample that fear, and you'll see your authority, and you'll live to see your authority increase. Do you understand this? I mean, if this thing could take out a mighty man of God, we need to understand that it's... Now, in 2 Timothy 1:7, God says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We got to understand, we got to test, is our mind sound? Is it secure in the peace of God? In Philippians, it says, in 4:6, it says, don't be anxious. It's a command. We know this. But how many of us have been anxious this week? And how many of you are still anxious? You know what I mean? There's just that unsettledness. There's just like it's like that storm ready to hit the Bahamas. You know there's a storm coming, and you just are in a sense of foreboding. You know, it's going to come. It's going to come. No, it doesn't have to come. No, you can push that thing away. All right? You really need to take personal authority over this thing. It's not the will of God for any of God's people to be in fear. Okay? God hasn't given you that. See that as a spirit and deal with it without mercy. Cut that thing out from you. Settle for nothing less than the peace that passes understanding. Do you have that up there? It's a command. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And I want to underscore that we have an opportunity today to agree together by prayer, to make this scripture work. Once again, I want to draw your attention to a promise from God that can change your circumstance. I sometimes think we just accept too little from our circumstances, from our life. I think we're living underneath the full inheritance that God has for us. I know for myself that God has called me to be the head and not the tail. And right now I'm decreeing and proclaiming that I'm a very wealthy, very rich man. My bank account doesn't quite agree, but that's all right. I don't look at that. All right, I just decree. I want to see this church full. I want to see us have the finances we have, not only just to take care of things here, but to the nations of the earth. The Bible says that my God has made all grace abound to me, that having all sufficiency in all things, I shall have an abundance unto every good work. Right, Josh? Yeah. That he would multiply my seed for my sowing to the nations of the earth. You know? I want to go on a missions trip because it used to be 3,000, now it's 4,000. You know, and I don't see it right now. I'm like, okay, you know, Lord, I know it's part of my inheritance. I know it's there. I'm not going to settle for this to be a continuous situation. I'm going to take the word of God and I'm going to apply it to my circumstance and include it in my prayer. And I'm going to get others to pray with me to incorporate the power of agreement. And this is how I know that I get a breakthrough. Next verse. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Now, I know I'm in a place of continuous intercession when I'm walking in this peace. The moment it leaves, I go to battle for that peace. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And when the enemy starts messing with you, the first thing to go is your joy, then your peace. And then your righteousness, the right thinking, the right actions and everything else that comes when you're spiritually in tune and not being moved by your emotions. How many of you know we go crazy when we go into our emotions? We go nuts, all right? And we're totally convinced we're not. That's scary. All right, so we want to catch this thing before it starts getting too far. When our joy starts going somewhere that it hasn't, you know, been intended to go, it's like, wait a minute, stop. Stop, wait a minute, where's my joy? Oh, I'm going to start worshiping the Lord. I'm going to get in the Spirit, you know. If your peace starts going, whoa, you're already halfway into the serious zone. You need to battle this thing. Get back into the joy, get back into the peace, all right? This is not rocket science. But so many times, you know, when the enemy hits us in our point of vulnerability, we get careless and we let it go. We'll get to it. We'll, you know, but, you know, man, if it takes all night, I'm going to wrestle with this thing. I'm going to get that thing. But if there's so many stress-related anxiety attacks are designed to take your health away. And so much of the sickness that comes to us when we pray for people is stress related. This overwhelm thing is huge. And so we need to just see what steps do we need to take in order to. And I've got some for you. I mean, you know, first of all, take this thing to God. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I mean, David broke through when he was at Ziklag because he encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, this is a spiritual problem. You've got to go to the source and get his help. Ask him to lead you to the rock. But pray that thing through. Then the next thing is, and this is amazing scripture. It's found in Isaiah. And well, I can't find it. It's on here. It's Isaiah 28. Oh, yeah. Verse 9. Now, he's in the context of this, God is prophesying over a rebellious nation. But in the midst of this, he says something. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, those who are mature. Okay, it's grow up time. All right, it's time to take your place of authority. We have a tape that we've circulated around. I forget the gal's name, but she went to Africa, And she went to death's door. She got sick violently of a disease that nobody even knew what it was. And God miraculously healed her. And all that was so that she would get authority over the witchcraft spirit in that region. So that was that thing had such power that this was the only way in God's economy that this thing could be broken. It's an amazing story. But the point of it all was is that, you know, she battled that thing until she got through. It's all about her maturing in her authority. We've got to realize, folks, God is maturing us in our authority, convincing us of that when we pray for one another, God hears that thing. When we pray on the basis of His Word, He hears, and we can expect things to happen. Go on. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to His people. This is a prophecy of in Isaiah about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go on. To whom He said, this is the rest wherein you shall cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. I think we missed something. Thank you. Here's that little key. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Let's go on to the next. All right, that's it. Okay, this is all talking about, you know, dealing with the thing in the spiritual. And here, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is such a powerful tool. Because when you don't know what you're dealing with, you don't know how to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost until you have that breakthrough. Sing in the Holy Ghost until you have that breakthrough. And it will come. It will come because this is the ordained rest for the people of God. The other thing is to realize, if you're going to climb out of that hole called being overwhelmed, you got to do a little bit at a time. You got to see the power of a little at a time. I mean, what overwhelms us is we look at the whole thing and realize there's just no way it's going to come together. It's no way it's going to happen. I remember the first time I ever laid block. Chris? Yeah. And I decided to build this two-car garage back when I was up in the Messina area. And I had a load of bricks, block delivered. And when they delivered the load, it was a mountain. I mean, it was just mountains of blocks. And it was like, whenever I do things, it's always on a grand scale. And I'd never laid blocks before, didn't have a clue how to do it. But I got the blocks. And there they were. And I looked at them, and I was overwhelmed. I was just like, I don't know. And I just stood there. And, I mean, this might sound like an exaggeration, but as I was standing there, this guy comes down the road. And it turned out to be a brother in the Lord from a church that I just started going to. And he found us. You have to understand, we were a mile into the woods in a place called Buckton where we even got lost trying to find it. It was just way out in the woods somewhere. It was totally in the wilderness, and we were out there on the river, just, and there was this dusty little road that nobody ever came up, and there he was. Pulls into our driveway, and he says, how you doing? I says, I'm overwhelmed. And he said, okay. He said, turn around and look at your corner, because you want to start your corners. And we're going to take a block, put it on one side, and put the block on the other. He says, look at those two blocks. That's your accomplishment. Reach back, pull a block, and don't look at the pile. Put one block upon the other. And at the end of the day, that is what you've done. And that is what you rejoice in. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. What the enemy sends to us is so much information that we can't process it. And what happens, we just tend to get a sensory overload. And everything shuts down. You know, and what you got to understand is just weeds in the garden. I mean, they can overwhelm you. One day everything looks good, and the next day it's just everywhere. And they're everywhere. How do you deal with it? One at a time. Here a little, there a little. Try to do a little bit each day. Don't take on the whole thing. Just a little bit at a time. You know, try to organize your projects so that, you know, there's some sort of a progress that's being made. It's interesting. University did an experiment, and they took these loggers, and they took this one guy who was quite a logger guy, and he could drop a tree in a couple minutes, and they took gave him an axe that was dull, and he went after it, and he said, "This axe is dull. I'm not going to use this thing." And he says, "No, go ahead, keep trying." Well, he finally gave up in about half an hour when he wasn't seeing any progress. And then they gave him a sharp axe, and away he went, took it down. And they just made a conclusion that, you know, as long as we see progress, we get the encouragement, we can move forward. And that's how we begin the slow process in the natural of climbing out of this overwhelmed feeling. As long as you can see some forward motion, some forward progress, okay? And so it's the type of thing where that just works in the ministry, it works in any aspect of life. Don't despise the small things. Recognize that that's how you reach the big things. This building started out with small beginnings, but we kept at it, and we saw it completed, okay? Now we want to take it to the next stage, all right, moving forward a little bit at a time. Don't look at the huge pile. Just look at the fact that, wow, we made this much. We made this much. That's why we're going to have a furnace fund. See if we can pay for this thing so that we don't have to go into fundraiser land. No more fireworks. No more fun days. Let's just raise the money. Pay for the thing. Move on. Okay? But it's the type of thing where, you know, we need to move forward and just not despise the day of small beginnings. Reach back. Grab hold and build that wall.